The following is an original production of Radio Sydney.
Hey, my name is Nicola Furlong, and you are listening to About the Peninsula on Radio Sydney. My goal is to interview local businesses and residents about their fascinating jobs and hobbies. Listen in and discover life on the Saanich Peninsula as you've never imagined.
So then you go, now I've got to modify. Yeah. Now I have to adapt.
Yeah.
Now I have to say what I said in an hour, but now I've got to condense what we said into messages that then that could be said in a minute and a half. And that is the way the world is.
But you know, I had thought, John, that the world has made some changes and that people were really digging the deep dive of, let's say, podcasts.
Psst! Want to promote something? Sure you do. If not your product, then how about your volunteer organization, your hobby group, or just yourself? We all need to communicate better in our ever-evolving digital landscape. But how? Simple answer, as always, ask an expert. Today on About the Peninsula, I'm chatting with John Jurisic of Harbour Digital Media, a local consulting firm specializing in providing the elusive digital marketing punch necessary to break through the social media static and fine-tune your message. It's not easy, but with John's extensive experience as a bleeding-edge adopter of today's communications tools, telling your story online can be as simple as tick-tock. So please, pour yourself a cuppa, pull up a chair, and join John Jurisic and me, pitched up in a hallway off the Vancouver Island Technology Park's cafeteria, for the final part of our two-part convo. Our compelling chat ranges from identifying Greater Victoria's economic engine, I think you'll be surprised, to the raging online challenge of outing false information in an era of twinkle-short attention spans. We break in as John is describing the vagaries of podcasting versus videocasting. No seagulls or airplanes today, but please forgive the squeaking and clicking of the hallway's doors. The tech park's a very busy business hub.
If you're not modifying your message to their algorithm, then you can go other ways.
Okay.
And build a story around your stories and build community around you and present it everywhere.
Okay, so what you're saying is no different than what I was trying to do in the mid-90s when I was first promoting my books. You're obviously using different platforms, but exactly the same idea.
Correct. Now, what the tools are just tools.
Yeah.
The approach, same way that a human hears a message, haven't changed. And what appeals to them hasn't changed.
No. But what I find very intriguing that you mentioned here, a lot of stuff, but that one thing in particular, that you've said video is more powerful and the best way to put content out. I find that quite remarkable given the vast interest in podcasting, not vodcasting, so not video. So people are listening on the bus, on their bikes, walking down the street, whatever, on their phone, listening to radio, listening to podcasts. They're not watching YouTube or that video. So why do you think video is the way to go?
So I've built and produced 6 podcasts. P with a, as in Peter, podcasts.
Yeah, gotcha.
And for the better part of almost 10 years, probably done close to 500 shows
for
podcasting.
Okay.
Podcasting in of itself has its own complete set of strategies and tactics by which you can link into Apple and
you're on Audible. I was amazed. You've got stuff on Audible. That's impressive.
Spotify.
Yeah.
You know. Absolutely. So there's an entire sort of world of that as well, right?
Of course.
The video piece involving podcasting and vodcasting is considerably more difficult and more time consuming.
Absolutely.
And to some degree not as comfortable for the majority of people.
Right, okay.
They would much rather just speak into a, as we are, just tuck in a thumb, and not be concerned about what I look like, how am I speaking.
Yeah.
So there are some natural human barriers to doing that. However, internet-based statistics demonstrate that video viewing is infinitely more interesting. It attracts more viewers.
Those are more appealing.
People stay.
Okay.
Now it's shorter.
Okay.
You're not going to watch a half an hour vodcast.
No, right. That's okay. The point. Okay.
But you will listen to a minute and a half and then possibly go somewhere else. Now, audiobooks have exploded.
Yeah.
So I think people are becoming more familiar with podcasting. When I started podcasting, I'd say early to middle 2010s sort of thing. No one knew about it. What's a podcast? What are you? What's wrong with you? People now are... That's where people are with podcasts.
Yeah, it's taken a long time.
But you're seeing that explode with a younger generation, particularly on TikTok.
Sure.
That's all they do. They watch TikTok. They watch Instagram, which will become increasingly video-based.
Right.
All video-based. And that's where a younger generation is getting their content from.
Well,
they are not listening to podcasts.
Right. No, I know the older generation is listening to podcasts.
A lot of these influencers on YouTube and Instagram, etc., are selling something.
Yeah.
And so they have a YouTube show.
Yes.
By which they then generate activity and spills out. So the way in which generations listen to content is different. The way in which newer generations of people listen to content is very different. Mm-hmm. And so you have to adapt to all that and try to understand it.
Wow. Yeah. And that's a huge challenge. For, as you say, for example, just talking about the businesses you were talking about in West Sydney, the fellow from Scott's that came to you, they're busy being Scott's manufacturing.
So let's
what do they do? How do they learn all this stuff to get people to understand what they're doing in the
world? Well, the shtick answer is hire me, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But to one part of your question that you asked, that being what's the adoption rate amongst business, I would suggest to you it's very low. My experience is very low. I've done a lot of prospecting, talking to companies about my services.
Yeah.
I'd say 9 out of 10 do not use these services.
Yeah. They don't get the value.
They don't understand the value.
Yeah.
They don't understand the work involved.
Yeah.
And they also, most of the 9 out of 10 don't have a communications plan.
No.
So many companies don't have that expertise within their core management, don't see the value of communication, effective communication.
Right, yeah.
And they're likely maybe within some established distribution networks, and they're working very hard and selling their product. I would suggest to you that they could do a whole lot more.
Absolutely. And sell a whole lot more. They're the old school idea that you build something, people will come to your door. Some will, but not the larger market. Not what you know. There's so many markets out there, but it must be, from your perspective as a consultant, then very frustrating, because you do have a lot to offer, and in this world, it's even more important because you have such knowledge of the different platforms.
Yes.
You could say X company, you would do so much better on Instagram. You would do better on TikTok because you're dealing with a younger generation. Mm-hmm. You'd probably still do okay in Facebook Market, believe it or not. You know, you might.
Absolutely.
Who knows?
Well, when we started online learning in the early 2000s, it was a bleeding edge product. It was right. It was, and the problem with bleeding edge products, or vision, is that you can sort of fall right off the cliff that you're ahead of everyone on.
Explain bleeding edge as a term.
So that being in any group of visionaries or any group of new ideas, any group of innovation, there's literally somebody or something at the very front of that group that sort of mass of thinking that's put numerous variables together that make everything else that their product makes is more efficient and more productive, more valuable than everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So they are at the very edge of that sort of innovation spectrum.
Okay.
And when you're at the edge of anything, this word bleeding edge has creeped into our vernacular,
yep.
I think, as though it's a dangerous place. You're going to get hurt.
So you can fall off the edge
and you're going to get hurt. You're going to get bloodied.
Yeah, okay.
Something will happen to you because you're so far ahead of the pack
that
there's no historical context for which to succeed in. You're on your own.
You don't benefit. They all benefit from you.
You've jumped out of a plane and you're trying to open the parachute. And so online learning at that point in the early 2000s was there. We were there. People didn't know it. It was a great threat to education. And then boom, 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 boom. And then certainly lately podcasting, vodcasting, this notion of taking advantage of these tools to promote your business, to expand your business, to promote yourself internally amongst your employees.
Right.
All very much new. So now vodcasting, which is really taking small little TV shows and trying to represent bigger content, is now at the bleeding edge of communications.
Okay, but do you think then your little video clips of 30 seconds to a minute, which I might find highly entertaining or interesting, will that lead me to go and listen to your 45-minute podcast?
The thinking and hope is yes.
I hear the hope word.
We've been doing it for a year, and so far the answer is no.
God.
In fact, people listen to the clips.
And they don't go further.
Yeah.
Bummer.
So then you go, now I've got to modify.
Yeah.
Now I have to adapt.
Yeah.
Now I have to say what I said in an hour. I don't know how long our interview will be. But now I've got to condense what we said into messages that then it could be said in a minute and a half. And that is the way the world is.
But you know, I had thought, John, that the world has made some changes and that people were really digging the deep dive of, let's say, podcasts, of spending an hour or a half an hour for 6 weeks in a row finding out a lot about a subject that interested them. And I thought that's what was going, that we were going to have that opportunity to have not just the 30-second clip, but, you know, Michael Enright's in-depth interview with somebody on CBC where you could just, you could take it all in and you're really fascinated by it.
There will always be a segment of our intellectual society, so to speak, that will do that.
Okay.
But increasingly, that is not going to be the case.
Are we going to go from 30-second clips to 20-second clips to 10-second clips to a half-a-second clip? Then that's all we're going to have. That's our attention span is going to be like a tsetse fly?
Quite possibly.
Oh,
and
my
it's
God.
Already being exhibited by the way that the cable shows are demonstrating what their hosts are talking about through this news chimera.
The news feed?
Yeah. You see it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, next. Blah, 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 next.
Wow.
One would assume that there was some time in somebody in one's life and that they could slow down and do a deeper dive, do what I call a vertical dive as opposed to a horizontal dive.
Yeah.
And that is just not the case because we're so busy. We're just ending up being so busy. I am not convinced in any way, shape, or form that this is all good.
I'm convinced it's not good.
I'm sort of... And we're seeing it manifest itself in a way that politics is now being expressed.
Yeah, yeah.
That to win, you present the stupidest, most asinine, emotive value proposition as opposed to something that's been thought out.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Some factual basis.
Yeah, and makes good sense.
I mean, we're seeing now the emergence of Trumpism in Canada through the Conservative Party, the fellow that might win or their leadership. And he's doing all of the things Trump did, which is all representative of what I'm telling you, how the world's communicating.
Right.
Now, these folks, a lot of them are just lying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even worse.
Yep.
Not only is the information short,
it's false. Well, surely the heavens, John, we've got to come to a point where we go, wait a second here. I'm being lied to every 10 seconds, and I'm taking it in. I mean, do we not stop and go, I really want the truth, and I really want the deep dive because I'm interested? Are we just going to not have the intellectual interest in anything that's not horizontally superficial?
I don't know how to answer that question for you because we're seeing it as we speak. Demonstrated in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Like this entire nation with a cultural history, an intellectual history, the great writers of the 19th century, Dostoevsky and Tolstoy, and you know, where there were deep dives, believe me.
Absolutely. It's, you know, they're heavy duty writing.
And now evolved into a nation of complete, utter falsehoods.
Yeah.
With no way, and essentially stopping. So we are historically at a place of autocracy versus democracy.
Yeah, we
and
are.
I don't know which one will win.
Yeah.
Because all the BS stuff, the way this communication is evolving,
yeah.
is perfect for autocratic ruling.
Yeah, it is.
Not for democratic ruling.
No.
In which we require facts.
Yeah.
We require background.
Right.
We require understanding and seek it.
Right.
So I hope in our lifetime, and both you and I are in our mid-30s, that we would, you know, be optimistic and see the cup is half full.
Well. Well, I hope that I can be as optimistic as you. I find
you know why
much
we
I'm not.
Because we actually create some of this content.
Well, that's what we have to do.
Okay.
Like fight back, as
the
Ukrainians are trying to do.
Exactly.
Is fight back with tooth and nail.
And maybe through this broadcast, another 5 people might hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And that 6th one might decide, you know what, I'm going to try to understand
right.
information better.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we must look at things.
Mm-hmm.
One person, one mind at a time. Mm-hmm. I'm optimistic about that. Will that, where this democracy, autocracy battle ends up,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I can perhaps give a parallel to something obviously not nearly as serious, just the selling of books, the selling of movies, the selling of anything. We used to have in the book business curated reviews, curated books, for crying out loud. A book would be produced because it went through a rigorous process of being read by people who understand the business, who understand the book, who understand how to write, the value of a good writer, of telling a good story or of telling a good nonfiction, whatever, to people just throwing content up on Amazon, 5,000 new books a week.
Yes.
Endless content. As you say, you've got to have content. But it's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
96% mm-hmm. of it is mm-hmm. garbage. It's not curated. It's not, I as a buyer, have no idea what is a good book anymore, other than I know my trusted sources of book reviewing organizations, and I hang, like news reviewing organizations, I hang on to those for dear life,
mm-hmm.
because these other ones that are made up
yeah.
junk, I'm fearful because people buy into that. They think, this is the way I should get my news from
yes.
this organization.
Yeah.
This is the way I should buy my book from, you know, Judy 17, 1904
mm-hmm.
is my curator for what I'm going to read.
Yes.
God!
You know, there used to be a process by which we evaluate information, and a lot of that process one would learn through school and education.
Yeah.
And to achieve certain levels of education, you would have to understand how to create good information, how to summarize information, how to present somebody else's information. So much of that has been skewered by the emergence of online an online community.
Mm-hmm.
You can now Google. You can cheat. You can
take as
fact somebody else's information.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know if they're real or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to create an essay when I was getting my degrees at UVic 1,000 years ago. You know, you actually had to create footnotes. There had to be some
Absolutely.
Kind of some kind of authentication
yes.
of why. This is real.
Yeah.
And that's how you trained your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, along the way to the races, that seems to have been lost.
Right.
I don't entirely know why.
Yeah.
I was to read a book from someone who created it down the street. I would want to know why they have some expertise
yeah,
in that
like,
area.
Why would I read their book?
I would want to know.
Yeah. Right. And
that
would it
doesn't
it,
seem to happen now. It's like, I'm going to read it, and if it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
If it suits my value
that's the thing.
Structure,
yeah.
well, then it's real.
And you don't care that it's well written.
It fits what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it fits.
And I happen to be thinking that that I deserve to own a house for $5.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll read everything that fits that vision for you.
Yeah, and it's cool. That's, you pretty well laid it down on how anybody makes a decision on anything.
Right.
You know, as long as a politician tells me that I'm wonderful and that I deserve everything, and I can sit on my butt and do nothing to get it, but I deserve it, of course I'm going to buy into that. Of course I'm going to support that person because I'm a, you know,
and
not
that can
going to do it myself.
Now. Because of the way of the absolute this, and relatively speaking, new communication, communication option, that being online. Pre 95, we couldn't do all these things or support our, we actually had to do research.
Yeah.
You'd go to a bookstore, you'd go to a library, you'd actually have to understand what you're saying and talking about.
Right.
Not anymore.
No.
So I'm optimistic in the human condition and the fact that we always generally base place that don't share those values. But I think fundamentally humans are good.
I
have
so.
To believe that.
Yeah.
And I do.
Yeah, I do. I think we see it every day.
Right.
In the vast majority of people.
And if one or two people a day within our network, you and I, choose to vet their information in a better way, we've won.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's... That's quite an interesting discussion, John. Fascinating. So, what do you see for your future?
Well, interestingly enough, very personally, for those in a probably radio space, they're... I don't know what entirely your demographic listener is, but let's just say for conversation's sake that they're older and they're looking after people. And I think there's that sort of baby boomer generation has moved into a not looking after kids but looking after this sort of sandwich generation.
Exactly.
Who were looking after both sides are now looking after elderly parents, elderly relatives. So that's a big part of my life.
Yeah.
Being a grandfather is a big part of my life.
So you have both ends of the spectrum going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I am passionate. And I live to understand communication. I live to understand how we communicate. And I will be doing that for the rest of my life for sure. I won't stop.
Yeah, well, I think it's innate. It's in you. You exude it.
And understanding, you know, as a salesperson, if you want to succeed, if you want that to work, you have to understand fundamentally what the other person is thinking. So there's some framework of a house that you're living in, and I need to go into that particular room and see what you're living in for me to sell you that my product.
I can see why you are a good marketer, because you understand that basic fundamental.
And until you do that,
you're not
going to be successful.
No.
To do that, you need to know how to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have gurus that you follow or that you've always followed?
I'm not saying this from a conceited point of view or an arrogant point of view. I do not.
Okay.
In large part because I'm constantly moving myself into places and driving myself into places by which I feel I learned through experience.
Nice.
And then sort of take a step back and collect those experiences and try to understand how the dots connect. And because what we're doing is so brand new, almost daily, there's not entirely a lot of people that from which I can sit back and...
Yeah, right. You are near the bleeding edge.
I'm there. Communication-wise, I'm fascinated by historical people such as Winston Churchill, Barack Obama, certainly the first Trudeau, not by politics, but by the way they were able to attract people to their viewpoints.
Absolutely.
By the way they were able to convey their messaging, that encompassed all of what we did. And it was non-internet, except for Barack Obama.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so these are ways that human beings speak to each other that are pretty consistent over thousands of years.
Now, normally I would have said someone in your position, a marketing specialist, sales specialist, a lot of experience, would write a book.
Mm-hmm. So that thought has crossed my mind.
And has gone out? Is it worth it?
Absolutely. I love to write.
Okay.
I love to write. In fact, whomever I ever see or talk to who's struggling with life a little bit, I encourage them to write.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage them to write their feelings down. Mm-hmm. That in fact, it's a healing process. Mm-hmm. It's a process by which you're forced to understand
exactly
what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Writing forces you to. Mm-hmm. I love to write. I love to write. So will that be a part of my future? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In my immediate future, not likely.
Okay. But do you see yourself writing a book about sales, marketing, communications?
I would love to.
Oh, cool.
I'd love to do that.
Okay.
And you can do that now.
Oh, sure.
And you don't need that whole publishing sort of infrastructure.
But it helps to have it. It helps to have it. If you approached a good house with your experience and marketing capabilities, a good house would want you. A good house would take you on.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing it yourself. Hey, you can do it? Yes, you
can
do it.
I need to interview you. I do.
But you gotta, you'd have to slog for all... You're a great salesperson, obviously, but do you want to be doing all the slogging and behind the scenes in Amazon? No. You want some good Canadian, preferably, I think, because you have Canadian perspective and experience, and maybe even BC publishing house to say, wow, we want this guy to come up with a sales book, a marketing book for the new age, and get it out.
Yeah. Well, fascinating. Maybe we can. You can interview me in a couple of years from now.
Yeah,
and I can talk about my book.
I hope so.
And I like to think. I like to distill those pieces, which are almost process labels. You know, sales, marketing, promoting. They're actually communicating. Mm-hmm. And in any given time, people who use communications as a way of moving ahead in their lives have just used different tools.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the fundamentals of communication remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to write about that.
Well, good. Well, I hope you do, because I think it would be a fascinating read.
Wow.
I would think it'd be a valuable read for many people.
Has no one interviewed you?
I'm the one who interviews other people.
Well, that's kind
of
changed.
My gig. Here.
Maybe I can do one for you.
Maybe you can.
Because you have so much to give us in this area. Yes, you do.
Well, thank you.
You.
But today is about you, John. And I want to thank you. For me, this has been a wonderfully interesting conversation. It's been completely different than what I thought. And I hope it's okay with you that we kind of spun off into
Absolutely.
Politics and into marketing and pushing.
You want to talk again about the more practical side to some of the activities I've been involved with on Peninsula any day?
Okay. I would appreciate that.
And
I will keep in touch. And
say hi to Bill Collins for me.
I will.
Bill and I go back quite a ways when he was with Questor.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
very busy now with Cascadia.
I know, just like Mr. Seaweed. And he's like going concern. He eats the product. He speaks the product.
Oh, really?
He sleeps the product. I ate the product, yes. Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's a great organization, and they're doing really well, and they're innovative. They're on the bleeding edge seaweed production and food. So, yeah, he's a lot of fun to know, and his interest in radio is just cool. So I just want to thank you, John Jurisic, for your time and for your knowledge and for your enthusiasm for communications. I'm a communicator as well, so to meet another communicator who digs it is really cool.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to About the Peninsula on Radio Sydney with theme music by Glyn Turner. We'd love to hear your comments or suggestions for interviews. Please zip over to our website at www.radiosydney.ca and click on the contact link or shoot us an email directly to info@radiosydney.ca.